as you're bringing things down.
You're bringing down the volume, but you're never bringing me down. That's the great thing.
Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now,
3 shots of espresso. I'm good.
Wow. So none of us got any sleep last night. 3 shots of espresso. This is great. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So for those of you who believe that there is the stereotype of artists just staying up late and doing horrible, horrible things, it's all true. It's all true.
Every single bit of it true.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. And you know what's also true? What's also true is that we care about our listeners.
We do.
We care deeply about our listeners.
All of them.
All of them.
Even the little ones.
All of them.
Oh, okay. That was an interesting pregnant pause.
Which
there.
Is, and we care about the ones who were formerly pregnant, which is why we have our parental advisory. We try to start a show that way. At some point in this show, we may say the word turbulence. Turbulence. So, you know, you have been advised if you've got a little one who you might not want to be exposed so quickly to the life of turbulence, maybe you want to shuttle them out of the room.
Yes, just you know, tell them to go play with their iPad or something.
Exactly. Let's talk to our first guest. We are so fortunate here to have local musician Lauren Hoffman.
Hey, what's up?
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art.
Thank you. It's my first time over here.
Yes. Yes, yes. Hope it will not be your last time over here. So, so how you doing?
How am I doing? Yeah. I also had inadequate sleep last night. There was a great show at the Tea House with Ships in the Night, and then there was like a Prince dance party afterwards. And
that's what I'm really curious about. How was the Prince dance party?
It was
really
fun.
Was it the Prince
fun.
Dance after party? Is that what it was?
It was sort of the Purple Rain after party. There was the Purple Rain screening at the Paramount, and I think some of those people came over, and just like as soon as Ships in the Night got off the stage, and their show was killer, then Patrick started playing like this amazing mix of kind of all kinds of danceable prints, and just everybody was packed into that little space in the Tea House, and it's like always 105 degrees in there, and
that's impressive because
jumping around.
There's so little danceable prints.
Yeah, right. You know,
how could he choose? That's like, he must have had to work very hard.
It was fun at the end when he played Cream, and everybody's like, butts are moving, and then he switched it to Let's Go Crazy, and then everybody's pogoing and throwing their hands up in the air.
One hopes that his Purple Badness is enjoying that. That's great. That sounds wonderful. Wow. I envy you. You had a much more fun time last night than I did. You've got a show coming up, don't you?
Yeah, you wanted to talk about the Lady Stardust show.
I do want to talk about the Lady Stardust show.
Yeah, so on Wednesday, there's this, it's called May the 4th be with you, show at the Anteroom. And our Ziggy Stardust-themed spaceman stuff that we do, that we did at the Jefferson, somehow fits that category enough that we're going to do it again over there. So it's like a... It's a mix. It's myself and Kathy from Lauren Hoffman and the Secret Storm, and then it's Alethea from Ships in the Night, and Pablo and Pete and Sally from Shagwoof. So it's like 3 bands together, and we call ourselves Lady Stardust. It's a lot of fun, and also we all, you know, really, it was a very reflective time, I think, for all of us with Bowie's passing, just as far as what he meant to all of us as an artist and about the career path versus, you know, inspiration, something that he definitely seemed to juggle.
Mm-hmm.
Was it, you know, the best idea for him to just completely cancel Ziggy Stardust and be like, I'm not doing that anymore, and go off and be somebody else? Probably not, according to his record company, but according to him and his heart and how he was making music. And that's so interesting, and all the different ways that he expressed himself and all the things that he explored. You know, he was a great inspiration to all of us, and so it was a I don't know. It was like a morning phase cathartic thing to get to go so far into the music and work on these songs together, and bring them to the Jefferson. And so now we're psyched we get to do it again at the Anteroom on Wednesday.
Yeah. One of the similarities I think about Prince and Bowie, and it's so weird having to mourn both of them in such a short amount of time, and they're two very different artists, but I think one of the similarities and one of the things that I think hits us so hard about them is they remain so vibrant for so long because they were artists where you can talk about phases of their careers.
Right, yeah.
They're artists who would reinvent themselves, and you talk about Bowie just ditching Ziggy Stardust. You know, I also think about Prince coming to nearing the end of the 80s and just firing the Revolution.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, I remember when that happened. We were just like, wait, he did what?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why would you fire the Revolution? But, you know, Prince, he just...
Well, and that started a whole thing where when he wanted a different sound, he would just create a whole new band.
Which is also what Bowie would do, interestingly. Yeah, even though their sounds were so different, it was the same kind of method.
Yeah, and eventually, I think both got to the stage where the bands... Yeah, I mean, the concept of band became really fluid. Like, they would, like, Bowie would go and he would find interesting people, and he'd hear interesting people and say, hey, do you want to play with me? And do you, I'd like to have you on my album. I'd like to have you on this tour. I'd like to have you, you know, I'd like to collaborate with you. And Prince would do, like, his final band, the New Power Generation.
Yeah.
I really got the impression that that was a really fluid group of people.
Was it still called the New Power Generation with this last stuff that he did? Like, he had that awesome kind of rockin' female lead guitar player.
That was something new. Third Eye Girl.
Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that was yet another incarnation.
One,
and who knows how long that would have gone, whether that would have just been a one thing, whether that was an act that he was trying to promote, that he was just doing with himself.
There was a cost to that, though, too. I think there were a lot of people who got hurt along the way being dropped by both of them. You know, you've heard stories from Wendy and Lisa and from the Ziggy Stardust original band, and you know, it was probably kind of crushing to be like, oh, you just don't want us anymore. That's a little sad when you think about that side of it.
So what has it been like working with Lady Stardust as opposed to with Secret Storm?
Well, Secret Storm is very much my project, and it's like a continuation of my career, just using my name. And I write the songs, and then we arrange together. You know, there's a lot of
and let me back
personal
up. Why
reflection.
The Secret Storm? Because you sort of done the reverse of what we've been talking about, where you were solo for a long time, and now you're identifying with a band.
Yes, well, we've decided that it's going to be Lauren Hoffman and the Secret Storm, which is a mouthful, but for a lot of reasons, but mostly for the sake of it being identifiable to somebody not around here, to somebody who has been interested in my music from afar and wants to find out what's happening now. I felt like I was making that a little bit too hard for them. So, you know, if it's Lauren Hoffman and the Secret Storm, then it'll still come up in a Google search. I mean, that's not the best reason, you know, to change your name. But the reason I wanted to either, you know, have it be just the Secret Storm or have it be Lauren Hoffman and the Secret Storm is I just, for a long time, I didn't like how it felt when people would be like, oh, so what's your band's name? And it'd be like, oh, it's Lauren Hoffman. Like, I don't know.
you should have just gone to one name, you know, like Cher.
Yeah, but Lauren is sort of like, I don't know. It's like a girl who sells jewelry or something. It's not a very rock and roll name.
The Hoff.
Oh, I think that's taken.
Oh, man. Don't worry. Clinton is good at this. He will come up with like a one word thing. Don't worry. But that's interesting that you're talking about how to market yourself as your focus changes.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we talk about a lot on the show with artists, about the juxtaposition between creating the art and marketing the art.
Oh God,
getting
it's horrible.
Paid for the art.
That's everything that I hate and struggle with, you know?
And I think everybody does, and everybody finds a different way to navigate that. So how have you navigated it?
With a lot of stress and and like ridiculous times in my career where I've been like, I'm done, I'm not doing this anymore. And not that I mean I'm not going to write music, I'm not going to write songs, I'm not going to play music, but I mean I'm not going to go out and promote it, you know, because
right.
that's kind of where all the grief seems to come for me. And, you know, you were saying what was different with Lady Stardust. It definitely feels like it doesn't have that kind of pressure. Like, I'm not putting that. There's this pressure you put on yourself, you know, when it's your songs and your project. And with this, it's not our songs. And it's a collaboration for us to channel it together. It's different from doing my own project. And it's really nice. And it adds to my inspiration to do my own stuff. They complement each other, which is very nice.
Do you find... I mean, sometimes when somebody has been in charge for a while, it can be difficult to move to a more collaborative relationship. Do you find, I mean, are there moments where you're like, no, I really want to step in and say, we should do this?
I would say that in both cases that I can't sort of stop myself from being a bit of speaking up and taking the leadership.
Right.
Especially with my songs, I have some weird sense of how they should sound, even though it's not as if I know that exactly in a way that I can articulate. Like, it's not like I know exactly what the drum beat is supposed to be or exactly what the synth sound is supposed to be, but I have these ideas and I'll know it when I hear it and all that kind of stuff. So with The Secret Storm, there's a kind of a fluid sense, a combination of collaboration and me being the leader. I actually think that a lot of projects benefit from there being a clear leader so that it's not just chaos, you know?
Yeah, and please don't turn into one of those female artists that is afraid to like step up and be that voice of reason. And I mean, girl power. I mean, for real, girl power. Just, you know, take the reins and do it. Seriously.
I think sometimes I could have, when I look back, there've been times when maybe I could have done that less. I could have like let other people's opinions in a little bit more. but now I think I've actually found the balance. I mean, when I was younger, I was 18, 19, 20, when I was making my first record and working with all these people much older than me, working with a major label. I had to fight against being treated like a little girl who didn't know what she was doing.
Right.
So then maybe I protected that a little bit too much. And then my next record, I was like, no, I'm not doing any of the things you say. I'm going to go make a record in the woods and I'm going to only have one take vocals and there's going to be like no reverb or something. I don't know. I had like very clear ideas about that and wouldn't kind of listen to anybody right. about it. And then there's things about that record that I regret, you know, it doesn't sort of stand up for me production wise. I think the songs were genuine at the time, but I could have let other people in a little bit more in that case.
Yeah. So, how do you judge production based from your first album to the current one? Like, how do you, is there an arc to your production? Like, do you change certain things to make the sound tighter or more leaning toward a certain genre? Like, how do you navigate that?
Well, again, I think that's like, there's this clear sense that I'll know it when I hear it. And there's something very, it's like, it's not the part of your brain that follows a recipe. It's like, it's a different part mm-hmm. of your brain. And it's
that sort of arranges a gumbo.
So, I mean, one thing is that looking back in a way, I have a different kind of perspective than it feels like at the moment. And at the moment, I'm trying to just genuinely express the thing that I'm feeling and the thing that goes best with the song or best with the album. Usually, you know, looking back, there seems to be more cohesion than there feels like in the moment. A lot of my experience has been feeling like, oh, how do these songs all go together on one record? But by the end, you've kind of worked with the same people. It's been the same phase in your life, and it does go together. But my records have all been, the four records that I made before now, were all very different and each one had like a mood that was about what, you know, something that I was into at the time, which it's horrible for marketing, you know?
Right.
But then you look at, you know, especially Bowie and also Prince. It's, I mean, definitely Prince when it comes to, like, I'm going to do my thing, my way, exactly the way that I know it needs to be. And you may not be doing yourself a service as far as marketing, but you'll look back at your career and you'll say, I was true to myself and I did the things that I wanted to do. If I'd made all my records sound like one vibe, I don't think, you know, that's better. Like, if somebody buys one of your records, I guess there's this idea that they should, you should, your brand should be recognizable, that the next record should have some similar sound. You know, you like right. the first Killers right. record, you need to like the third Killers record for the same reason. But I don't think that's so great, you know, for creativity. About production, you know, my favorite record really of my career, well, the two favorite are the first and the third, Megiddo and Choreography, which are both a little bit, you know, darker or mm-hmm. sadder. The first one, Megiddo's a bit more like kind of pissed off and sarcastic. And then Choreography is like more romantic and soft. And I think that what we're doing now with The Secret Storm is a little bit of a combination of those two. When I listen back to Choreography, there are a lot of vocal harmonies and there's a lot of washy kind of reverb. And I'm singing in a little bit of a, not a very forward way. Like it's a bit, there's something sort of passive about the character mm-hmm. In that album. And that's, you know, when I listen to that,
passive
and I kind of go,
or restrained,
like a little bit kind of, you know, the cover picture is me like leaning back on this chair at the piano, and like looking over my shoulder in this kind of forlorn way. And I think that that image really goes with the voice, on that album.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I don't feel like that would reflect where I'm at in life now. And so, you know, production is going to reflect that. It's going to be there. You know, I was just working on this song and we just kept kind of trimming back the reverb. I'm like, I want it to be more, you know, kind of dry and in your face a little bit more than that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned
tool production.
It's interesting that you mentioned the image of Choreography, because I was just looking at, really looking at the cover design of The Dragon.
Uh-huh. And, local and artist, Russell Richards.
Local artist, Russell Richards. Former guest on the show, Russell Richards.
Sweet.
And the female that Russell has done, she seems very much active. I mean, it's a really interesting dichotomy between, it seems to me, between her and the dragon, because the dragon looks spent. The dragon looks done. And like, she's so not. Like, right. She's still very, very focused.
Is it a male dragon? It's a male dragon.
It's definitely
it?
A male dragon.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
really
about.
You really had to go there.
What?
You really just had to
what? Go what? I'm just saying, if there's, you know, a male dragon, it's probably spent because the girl, well, you know.
Make the drop.
Hi, I'm Russell Richards, and you're listening to Homegrown on WPVC.
19 minutes past the hour. If you are just joining us, welcome. We're sitting here with Lauren Hoffman.
Hello.
Of The Secret Storm, of Lauren Hoffman and The Secret Storm, of Lauren Hoffman, of Lauren Hoffman and The Secret Storm, of The Secret Storm, and also of Lady Stardust, which is yet to be Lauren Hoffman and Lady Stardust.
Oh, no, that would not be appropriate.
That was my joke for the people, for the members of Lady Stardust. That was totally my joke.
Really? You're just making people angry, aren't you? What is that?
Speaking of Secret Storm, let's listen to a little Secret Storm.
Yeah, which one?
we got this. Taking your time to make me weak. Teaching my body how to speak. To yours like wind into the trees. It's like this.
That was Fastlane from The Dragon by The Secret Storm. So the songs that you're going to be doing with Lady Stardust
on Wednesday,
are those going to be the songs that you did at the Bowie tribute, or are there going to be other?
What
kind of material can we look forward to?
At the Bowie tribute, we did Let's Dance, and Jeff Deem sang. That was so fun. And we also did Lazarus. So those two are not from the Ziggy Stardust era.
Mm-hmm.
So we're only doing the songs that, you know, that Spaceman sings.
That are spacey.
Yeah. So we are doing some of the same songs, and we're also adding one more from that album and era.
Cool. And so, and how did you become involved with this? First of all, it's such a darling concept, because I was looking around at things and I saw, you know, May the Fourth Be With You, The Fourth Awakens.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, they had that going already, and then Jayon from the Anteroom
mm-hmm.
contacted me about asking me if Lauren Hoffman and the Secret Storm wanted to like work up some material. And I was like, oh, we're trying to work on our own material right now. We can't take that on. And then he said, how about Lady Stardust? And I wouldn't have thought of it, but like, oh yeah, I guess that is sci-fi themed enough. And everybody in the band was into it. So is that what you mean about how it came
exactly,
to be that we
that's
were?
That's exactly what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. So great. Lauren, thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
For joining us today. Could you give our listeners the what, when, and where for the May the 4th show?
Yeah, so it's Wednesday evening at the Anteroom, and I'll have to check the time. I want to say 7 or 8. There's a lot of bands.
It's a cavalcade of bands.
Yeah, it's going to be a ton of fun. And if you come in costume themed anything sci-fi, gaming, cosplay, I think there's a lot of leeway there, then you get to come in for $5 instead of 8.
So I can't bring my Jefferson costume. That's not...
Well, maybe Jefferson in space.
Jefferson in space.
Just, you know, put on a helmet like you you just walked off the space shuttle. You'll be all right.
We of the
free, I mean, if you time travel, if you time traveled, right?
There
that's science fiction-y.
Time travel Jefferson. All right. Lauren, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right. 25 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, a show about local art. And speaking of local art, let's speak about some local art. Currently running right now until May 8th, Richard Serra prints at the Fralin Museum of Art. Also currently running right now, Hunter Gatherers at Live Arts. You don't have a lot of time. That goes until May 7th. Two couples have dinner and fall into a frank discussion of being on top, being below, and how humans are just animals. After all, go for info at livearts.org. Also today at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center, you can catch Keith Lee Dances. Tickets available now online at jeffersonschoolheritagecenter.org. $15 in advance, $20 at the door. Currently running Hannah Barefoot's Prints and Paintings till Death Do We Part at New City Arts. Also, from May 3rd to the 29th, Raptors, paintings by Cynthia Burke at McGriffey Art Center. From May 5th to the 8th is the teen production of Romeo and Juliet at Guerrilla Theater down on Allied Street. And from May 5th to 25th, it's an open submission by writers and directors for this year's Guerrilla Theater Summer Shorts. So if you're a writer, if you're a director, you want to get involved in Guerrilla Theater Summer Shorts, now's the time to get in contact with Guerrilla Theater. Find them on their website. See how you can get involved. From May 6th to the 15th, Ghost, the musical based on the popular film at Shannon Arts in Stanton. Ticket at shannonarts.org. May 6th to the 22nd, the Great American Trailer Park Musical at Four County Players. Also May 6th, First Friday Improv, The Echo by Big Blue Door. One of Charlottesville's improv groups doing things and making things happen. May 14th, 15th, Creatures at City Clay. Go to City Clay and you can make your own creatures, real or imaginary. Find out the details at cityclayseville.com. May 14th, auditions for Shannon Arts Home Production of West Side Story in Stanton, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. More info at shannonarts.org. And May 16th, throughout the entire summer, it's Art and Country at the Klugiru Aboriginal Art Collection. A diverse selection of works on canvas, paper, and even eucalyptus bark, drawn from the Klugiru Collection, looking at how these Aboriginal artists figure their relationships with their homelands. And for our musical options, today is the final concert of the season for the Charlottesville Symphony Orchestra. Mussorgsky's Pictures of an Exhibition, plus works by Tchaikovsky and Respighi at Old Cabell Hall. Also today, Travis Elliott at Rapture. May 3rd, traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Pub, and Larissa and the Illusionistics at Fellini's. May 5th, reggae residency with Positive Collective at the Ante Room. Also on May 5th, our man Brady Earnhardt at the Tin Whistle Pub, and Bob Bonetta Quartet and with Dick Orange, Tavern on the James. May 6th, Joe Lawler and Friends and the Moraine Lasco J-Pun Quartet at the Jefferson Theater. Oh, man, don't miss that one. And because, I mean, some people may say that these guys are not a local band, but I say I'll still count them as a local band. And plus, when am I going to get a chance to say this again? May 7th, the Dave Matthews Band plays at John Paul Jones Arena. Also, May 7th, Jim Wave at Albemarle Ciderworks. It's a tough call. It's a tough call between the two. Mighty Joshua and the Zion 5 at Jefferson Vineyard same night. May 8th, Peyton Tuckerton at Glasshouse Winery. May 13th to 15th, La Traviata by Ashland Highlands Opera at the and the Oratorio Society of Virginia at the Jefferson Theater. And, of course, every Monday, it's the Singer-Songwriter Night at the local. Every Wednesday, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Couture. Every Wednesday, also, the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's, and Jim Wave at Blue Moon Diner. Every Thursday, it's the Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And if you can't take that, then head on over to Miller's on Thursday for the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And that's just some of the art going down in our art show in town. If you are an artist and you've got stuff that we want, that you'd like us to broadcast, we'd like to broadcast it. Contact us at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email us at homegrown947@gmail.com. Thirty minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. This is Homegrown, a show about local art. Stay tuned afterwards for the Sunday morning wake-up call with Rick Moore. His guest today, Clay Hansen, assistant director of the Thomas Jefferson Center. I believe today they're talking about this year's Muzzles, their awards for people who have abused the freedom of speech.
Can you abuse the freedom of speech?
I mean, denied the freedom of speech.
Oh, okay. All right.
Abused the concept of freedom. I denied the freedom of speech.
Ah, okay.
You know who's free to speak?
You?
No, I'm never free to speak.
That's true. I don't allow it.
Our next guest, though, coming all the way, join us from Four County Players. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing so fine.
We have Wendy Novikoff and Charlotte Drummond representing. I think you guys have a show coming up. Is that right?
We do. It's called the Great American Trailer Park Musical. We open on May 6th.
What?
You can say it like that, or you can say it like Great American Trailer Park Musical.
That's, I don't think I can say it.
No, you might not better.
Really? Really, Clinton? You don't have that one? I mean, you speak so many languages. You don't have Trailer Park?
I may have Trailer Park, but I also have a sense of self-preservation.
Oh, well, yes, there's always that. So, Liz, tell us about the show.
Well, this is actually, it's a very, very funny show. It was off-Broadway in 2005, and I got to see it in Cincinnati, and a whole lot of people have gotten to see regional productions of it. We decided it would be really terrific to showcase some very interesting personalities of the people that live at Armadillo Acres. I'm sorry, Armadillo Acres in Stark, Florida. We've got all kinds of very interesting characters, and it's about how they interact with each other and how their daily lives kind of unfold. It's a little Jerry Springer and a little World Weekly News, a little National Enquirer, and I know a few other things. I'm sure there's some Sally Jesse Raphael thrown in there, too.
A little bit naughty as well.
Really? Tell me there isn't a tornado joke in there. So,
actually, there probably is. We do lose power. I knew that.
There is a storm a-coming. There is a storm.
And there's a lot of fabulous music and a lot of heart. Some bawdiness. So you might want to leave the kids at home, but everybody else really needs to come out. It's really a fun, fun show.
So when there's a storm a-coming, does that mean somebody's, like, knee is or hip is aching? Is that how they know?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We have this Greek chorus of these three women who are just amazing.
I'm sorry, wait. The Great American Trailer Park Musical has a Greek chorus.
Absolutely.
Totally.
Already.
Absolutely. You've got to have these three people who are just there to, you know, observe and comment and be snarky.
Very snarky. Yeah.
And they help the story along, and they have a little premonition that a storm is a-coming based on all of the relationships that start getting a little complicated. My character is an agoraphobic trailer park housewife who hasn't left her trailer in 20 years because of a tragedy that happened in my youth. And my husband is Norbert the Toll Collector, and it's just a very, very, very interesting group of people.
Wow. Wow. Who wrote this thing?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. Betsy Kelso wrote the book. David Keels, I think. Yeah. David Keels wrote the music. Really very, very, very funny. They also have written a sequel called the Christmas Trailer Park Musical, something like that.
Oh, this is
so
this
you know
be the
there
next
could be
tuna?
Another yeah.
This is gonna be the next Greater Tuna.
Where exactly.
They're just
tuna.
Gonna
we're ahead
they're just
that.
Gonna spin this into a yep. little cottage industry
you
for
can
themselves.
See it coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. So what about this show made you think we've got to bring this to Four County Players?
You gotta put your board hat on.
Okay. We were looking for, we're always looking for in our seasons out of Four County, and we are in our 43rd season.
43rd?
Out there. Yes.
Is that amazing?
And we were looking for some shows that had a little bit different appeal. You know, we do terrific variety. In fact, you know, the last time I was here, I think we were talking about Honk.
Yes.
Which was the musical version of The Ugly Duckling, which everybody did bring their kids to. And this is a musical that, like Charlotte said, probably the little kid should stay home. But, you know, the music is great and the ideas are great. And it's
my parents would have taken me. My parents would have taken me. Okay. It depends on your kids, you know.
Exactly.
And we wanted something that would be, you know, kind of happy and up and different for the May slot. We just got done doing Moon Over Buffalo, which was a very fun farce. And, we did that little play. I think you might know something about Clinton Macbeth. last fall as part of our season.
I'm not really familiar with that one.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah. He's not familiar with the amazing performance he did in that play. I mean, really?
It is all a blur.
It is not. That was memorable, man. It was awesome. You need to be on stage more.
Just something different. Bring your mother.
Oh, wait. What's the promotion on Mother's Day? Is a, you get a two for one, but you also get a koozie.
There's a Mother's Day promotion.
There's a beer koozie in there. Is it cozy or koozie?
It's koozie.
It's koozie.
It's koozie. And oh my God, I want to bring my mom just to see her face when someone hands her a beer koozie.
Yeah, you know that beer flat, what is it, mud flat beer symbol with the woman with the profile with
right.
It's completely out of proportion. That's what's on there, just saying.
That's awesome.
It is pretty, and it doesn't have to be your real mother. It can just be someone that you might think could pass.
Or not.
So if you're you could be driving along the street and stop and say, "Hey lady, what are you doing?"
Jay,
let's go to Fort County.
Okay. I do want to shout out to our directors who are
bless their hearts
in every good way, not just the Southern way.
Right.
That we have one of them who's on his way to Michael's to pick up AstroTurf and flamingo string lights because you know it's Tech Week.
Because it's Tech Week. Does Michaels have flamingo string lights?
Oh, yes, they do. And AstroTurf.
And AstroTurf, yep. Gary Warwick White.
Wow.
And Linda Zuby.
Unbelievable.
Totally unbelievable. Totally deserve lots of kudos and stars. And koozies, too.
And koozies, yes. So what was the major challenge in doing this show? Like, was it the accents? Was it the material? What was that thing that everybody kind of struggled with?
Okay, Wendy. That'll be you, too.
Okay. Well, I have to say for me that the accent is the most difficult one I've ever had to do. I am a nice Midwestern girl, and being told I needed to talk Southern and use some diphthongs that I just didn't know existed.
And so are we talking northern Florida or southern Florida?
It's northern Florida. It's Gulf Coast.
Dark Florida.
Gulf Coast.
Gulf Coast, okay.
And so I would say...
That is a rough one.
Yeah, the subject matter is a little, you know, racy. But honestly, these are honest relationships and honest people and good-hearted people and... Everybody is fairly happy in the end. So there you go.
So I don't have to, but I'm going to ask the tough question. Shut when up. I hear about a Trailer Park Musical that was running off Broadway, I immediately think of a bunch of trendy, sleazy hipster New Yorkers getting their jollies by making fun of poor white Southern people. Is this a show that has fun at the expense of the characters?
I don't think so. And I am from the South. So I'm going to say it. I believe one of the things that's nice about this show is it does talk about and demonstrate the heart and warmth of a group of people in a small community who look out for each other, but also, you know, push each other's buttons and snark around at each other. But still, when it comes down to it, they're looking out for each other. So it does have a lot of heart with a lot of fun.
So there's a family feel to it.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, I think these people are nicer to each other than most families are.
Yeah. Oh, my.
You know, being the agoraphobic woman that I am, I have these three lovely ladies who really do take care of me. You know, they bring my mail. And at some point, I've got, you know, some really great support systems. And yeah, there's some very funny things and they do poke fun. But I will say that the authors of the show are both New Yorkers and Southerners. They grew up in the South and moved to New York. And so I think they were really trying to find the funny parts without being extremely mean.
Well, I mean, that's
something that a lot of people think about when they think about the South, that whole tight-knit community where everybody pitches in and takes care of each other. But what has been portrayed most about Southern people is you know, laughing at their expense. So it's nice to hear that they've struck a balance.
It's sort of like the original tiny house movement. You know, the whole tiny house movement right now is go small. You know, you don't have as many things, and you have, you know, you're a very small space.
Right.
And that's all you need. And you have the folks around you who are all pitching together, and you share your stuff, and, you know, you lend your cup of sugar, and you, you know, borrow this, that, and the other. And it's a very, very close community.
That's cool.
Wait, that's a movement? I can call the hovel that I live in just a part of a movement.
See, you're trending.
You are hip.
I am hip.
And he didn't even know it because Clinton lives under a very particular rock.
I need to get some skinny jeans now under my rock because I'm ready for the hipster. I am part of a movement now.
No skinny jeans
I'm
for you.
I'm simplifying.
Oh, God help us.
Just, I've gotten rid of clutter. Trying to find a path.
How's that going? Sorry, Clinton and I go way back.
Yeah, she knows you. You can't pull the wool over her eyes.
Speaking of taking care of each other, we did bring you a basket of emergency supplies.
Oh yes, you have to describe this.
Yes,
basket.
this is when I wish that we did have a little video with our radio. But in case the power goes out, you have everything that you need to survive. We've got some Slim Jims and some Funyuns and some pork rinds,
corn nuts.
The truck number one Roundup buy a truck. Want ad pages and some, let's see, fried pies and Pabst Blue Ribbon, I was told is now really in high demand by those New York hipsters.
Oh, yes.
Because
oh,
it's very hard to find.
Very, very hard to find. And there's also a snowball there.
Oh, there is, and some beef jerky and Swisher Sweets.
You take such good care of us.
Well, I try.
I know. Last time we got stuffed animals, and now we get snacks.
They're healthy.
We need to have them back more often, Clinton. This is awesome. I love getting presents.
I'm saying Four County, no joke.
Well, you do have to say there's an awful lot of us who really, really enjoy taking care of our volunteers and our people, and we really like feeding people. And as Clinton knows, I have this little ritual called excuse for a cake day. And so we always try to find a reason to have cake so that we can...
You need a reason for cake?
Well, sure. It makes us all feel a little better.
Oh, okay.
So here's a thought here. Actually, let us do this drop, and then I'll have a question to come in.
Mic drop?
Hi, this is Jason Burke of the Six Pack Songwriter Series. You're listening to 94.7 FM, Homegrown. Hi, this is Jason Burke of the Six Pack Songwriter Series. You're listening to 94.7 FM,
Homegrown. Show about local art, and we are blessed to have with us.
Work on that, Clinton.
Wendy, I'm trying to be good. I'm walking that line. Clutter. Getting rid of the clutter, finding the journey.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Charlotte Drummond and Wendy Novikov from Four County Players talking about the Great American Trailer Park Musical that's coming up pretty darn soon. So I'm wondering if this show really speaks to community theater as opposed to cutthroat, evil, professional theater. Because if it's a show that talks about community, right? If it's a show that talks about people coming together and really kind of take care of each other, I'm wondering if it's, you know, that it's really kind of appropriate for a place like Four County.
Particularly because it takes so many volunteers to get this sort of thing off the ground. We've had four set build Saturdays now in the past month. Yesterday was the longest. But we've had gosh, we've had dozens of people come out. So the place was just awash with people doing all sorts of things, like painting and hammering and all sorts of good things.
And how elaborate is the set? I can imagine that.
We got trailers.
We got trailers
on set, and they're impressive. We've got, one of my jobs as producer was to find the most hideous wallpaper in history, and I think I found it.
It wasn't bad.
It really wasn't. Well, now it's worse because you didn't see it after I messed it up. I washed it. I washed it with brown wash, so it's a little aged now.
The worst paper wallpaper in the world.
Hideous.
Oh.
That was my, that was my purview.
Worst wallpaper in history.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, okay.
You got to come out and see, be the judge of that.
So you have one trailer or two trailers?
We got two trailers.
Two trailers on stage.
We got two trailers.
Holy crap. One
of them hides the band. We've got a band.
There's a live band.
We've got live music. It is incredible.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Hinton, we have to go.
We have to go. We've got Greg Harris is our musical director. You know Greg.
I do know Greg.
He's extraordinary.
Unbelievable.
He's fabulous.
Awesome.
And we got Dave the drummer. And we got Joe the bass player. And we got Jim the guitar player. And they are amazing.
You got an all-star crew back there.
It really is an all-star crew, let me tell you.
So, Charlotte, you are in the perfect position to answer the perennial question.
I know what that is.
Yes.
What does a producer do?
Charlotte, what does a producer do?
What does a producer not do?
Yeah.
So, you know, it is an interesting question, and it varies a lot according to which, you know, group you're working with. But it's sort of like you're the mother. You're the mother of the production. You've got to watch all your little hens and chicklets and make sure everybody's, you know, showing up and bringing all the little seeds into the nest. Is that right? Straw? I don't know.
Roll with it. Just go.
So, you know, you just got to make sure everybody's, you know, doing all these things. So what I like to do is I like systems. I like spreadsheets. So spreadsheets are my friend.
She's like me.
Yes.
Yay.
Love them.
Yay. I found a friend.
Yes. Google spreadsheets are good because everybody can weigh in. You got your Google Docs. You got your Google spreadsheets. You got your doodle polls now.
Yes.
So all that stuff really works because, you know, if you can get people to buy into them and do them, then you can, you know, keep an eye on everything that's going on. And that's what you got to have. So the other thing that I'm responsible for is making sure that we've got enough people for set builds.
Right.
And we have had some amazing, wonderful, wonderful people. And I will give a shout out to the Seville Time Bank, of which I am a member.
Oh.
So I had last week three members of the Seville Time Bank. I posted a request on our Time Bank page, and I said, so I got this need, and so if you guys come out and help on set, then I'm going to pay you from my Time Bank hour batch.
Uh-huh.
And so this is a donation to Fort County from my Time Bank account on behalf of these three individuals. So I think I've paid three people, you know, 5 to 8 hours each from my Time Bank account. And so Fort County Players benefited from all their experience last week, and we had a wonderful time. And
wow.
It was a great experience. And all the people at Fort County who never heard about the Time Bank then now know that that is a wonderful resource for Fort County.
Wow,
and that was fun.
Great.
Anyway, we got a lot done.
Excellent.
Set's almost finished, which is a good thing because today is tech.
Flamingo lights.
Okay, so Charlotte, you and I have to talk after the show because there's an awesome thing that I know you will love because I love it, and it's called Smartsheet.
Oh.
And it's like Excel on crack.
Oh.
It's awesome. You can set reminders that automatically email to people for them to do stuff. You can post things and attach things. It's so awesome. It's so awesome.
I am so excited. We're on it. Totally.
Charlotte, Wendy, thank you guys very much for coming.
Thank you, Clinton.
Could you please give our listeners the who, what, when, and where of the great Trailer Park Musical?
Okay, we open this Friday.
So
I'm going all those dates, actually. The 6th, thank you so much. And we're going for 3 weekends. So we're Friday, Saturday, and Sunday matinee. 8 o'clock on Fridays and Saturdays in the Sunday matinee. And there's a special on Mother's Day.
Mother's Day special.
Special 2-for-1 with a koozie.
And all
also, every Friday, all tickets are $8. So they're half price from our regular adult price. We do that in concert with Orange County, who obviously is a great supporter of what we do. And we want to make theater affordable and available to everyone.
Love that. Thank you, Orange County. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, Four County Players. The Great American Trailer Park Musical, Catch It, up in Barbersville. Woohoo! There you go. All right, it is 52 minutes past the hour, and now we're up to that part of the show that you love and know. It's Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Thank you, Clinton. All right, well, I have a little music under my rant today, because today my rant is all about music. Music has always been a force to be reckoned with. It's always been something that we as humans use to express how we feel. And I would argue that it is the most visceral form of art that we have. And before all of you yell at me, let me explain. Music has the power to change our mood. If we're sad and we put on our favorite party song, we cheer up. If we're happy and a song that's sad comes on the radio, we feel it sometimes to the point of tears. Think about the overwhelming response to the death of Bowie and Prince. In the very white, very male corporate zeitgeist, these men would be considered less than. They weren't academics, but both of them were hella intelligent. They didn't have a 9-to-5, but both of them worked more than 70 hours a week at points in their careers. And yes, they changed the world. They changed the world with their art. These artists brought people together from all walks of life to listen and be moved by music. And with their music, they made us think. They made us question. They made us realize things about ourselves and the world that maybe we didn't know or hadn't taken the time to figure out for ourselves. Most of all, they showed us love. Love that was unconditional and pure. They showed us love on a mental and emotional level that saw us through dark days and brightened the rest. No other medium affects us the way music does. I was talking with a friend last night, a dear friend who's also a musician. He doesn't play the type of music Prince or Bowie did, but he respected them. This lovable 300-pound ZZ Top beard-wearing guy can be brought to tears by the right music. And he and I had the same question. Why these guys? Why these icons? Seriously, we lose MJ, Bowie, and Prince, but Justin Bieber and Kanye are still here? Like, where's the balance in that? I don't know if I have the answer, but I think it's meant as a wake-up call for all of us who enjoy music. Just like in politics, we need to demand more from what we pay our hard-earned money for. We need to stand up and say that something that is substandard is not worth it. We need to pull away from the mind-numbing, vapid vitriol that the record companies want to force down our throats. And we need to demand that the music we buy, listen to, and cherish is something of substance, something that empowers and uplifts, something that commiserates with us instead of dragging us down to the basest level of human existence. That is how we can honor their memory. We can make sure music, art, and theater stay in our schools. We can make sure our kids listen to these wonderfully diverse artists with something to say and something to teach us. And we remember, most of all, what they did for us and try to pass it along. And that's the weekly rant.
Really?
What? You got a problem with that?
Really?
Oh my God. Okay, what?
2 weeks in a row with Prince? And Bowie again?
Like, I don't understand what is the acceptable limit to talk about someone who was so versatile, who changed the face of the music industry simply by his existence. Like, how, I mean, what?
Did you hit a dry spot?
Excuse me?
Did you hit a dry spot, Leslie? Little writer's block. Couldn't
you know
come
what?
Up.
You need to get away from me right now.
Couldn't come up with something for the...
No, seriously. You need to get away from me right now. Seriously?
And again with the standing up. What is it with you and the standing up? We always have... For some reason, we always have to stand up and demand something with you. Can't people just sit down? Can't people just recline?
You love to sit down,
can't
don't
people
you?
Just, yeah, I'm sitting next to... sitting next to this care package right here. They got the Pabst Blue Ribbon. I got my Funyuns.
You cannot drink on the air, Clinton.
They're not going to know.
Oh, my God.
They're
yes,
not
they going
to know. I think I should... Because I think I should stand up and demand being able to drink on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're going to stand up for that.
I'm standing
great.
Up, while I'm standing great. Up and demanding things, I like to demand to know how you... So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but when you say MJ...
Maybe you're wrong?
When you say MJ, could you possibly be referring to Michael Jackson?
Yeah, MJ.
Okay,
that's,
then
yeah.
When I'm standing up and demanding stuff, maybe what I really want to stand up and demand is how you could possibly rate Michael Jackson at the same level as Prince and David Bowie. Now,
okay.
If you want to, and I may, I
no,
like
you want to know how?
Mike.
You want to know how?
Like me some
because
Mike, but,
in his own way, he did the same thing.
And
he changed the face of music.
If you want to talk about mind-numbing vapidness, let's talk about the
how is MJ mind-numbing and vapid? Oh my God!
How is it, Mike? What was he writing about? What it is?
He,
in fact, he didn't
oh
even.
Oh my
write.
God! Really?
He didn't even write a couple songs here and there. He got some people in. Maybe got a writer's credit.
So
hey,
you're seriously going to sit there and say that Michael Jackson had no effect
hey,
on
oh, hey, maybe
the music
work
we listened to
Rod
today?
Temperton. Oh, I can get Quincy Jones to come and make me a star. Dude was a great performer. But if you want to talk
goodness.
About mind-numbing artists, you want to talk
okay,
about people
so, you know,
who were authors.
So basically, Man in the Mirror was like
it,
nothing to you, right?
Changed it.
That wasn't.
Not from
that
him,
was nothing.
Not from him. I mean, you can have somebody, you know, recite a Shakespearean speech, but if they don't have any soul themselves.
Oh my God, now you're saying Michael Jackson was soulless?
I'm saying that he was just a big poppin' Jay doing things on stage. Popping his joints, moonwalking, trying to figure out what glove he was going to put on which hand, or whether
seriously?
Or not he was going to put a brace on, or what type of thing. It was show.
And you know
it
what? No matter how vapid you think he is, you cannot deny the effect
you know
that
what?
He had on his fans.
I've got some Michael Jackson in my car.
And you can't
what
deny.
Is it in my car? I think it's
you can't
bad.
Deny.
I think it's exactly what. I
and
have
you
in my
can't
car.
Deny the effect he had on the music industry.
Bad.
He changed
there
it.
You go. I'm gonna walk out right now.
Oh my God.
This is great.
Okay.
Maybe I'll carve a statue
he's
of Michael Jackson.
He's going crazy right now. Apparently, he forgot to take his medication again this morning. I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to have to keep a bottle of it in the studio. That's what's going to have to happen. All right. We want to thank our guests, Charlotte Drummond and Wendy Novikoff from Four County Players. You guys go out and see the Great American Trailer Musical. It's awesome. Sounds awesome. And we want to thank Lauren Hoffman. Go to the Anteroom May 4th and see Lady Stardust in concert. Thank you so much for listening. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.